done it now. Gone against the king, gone against the crown. Said, oh no, you done it now. Time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could you think he would stay down? Said, rumors spreading around. Nothing but a liar. Rock and Reality Radio, starting your day Yam's way. Aha! Starting your Yam's way is the best way to start our play. I want to apologize to the Shellac Scribe. I went to bed about 2:30 last night after I fell asleep in my chair because I was on the phone with TJ for about another hour after the program. And I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and went to bed. My alarm did not wake me up. I did not crawl out of bed until about 8:15. And then I walked the dog. So imagine where I'm at right now. Actually, don't. Just be grateful that we're here. So hallelujah. We are going to ask Yami if she would be willing to come on the line real quick and pray away any interference. And if she could berachot us with her praise, prayers, decrees, and declares right away. 33 IMs and the like. Hallelujah. Yami, are you there? I inadvertently hung my line up so I couldn't hear you pick up. Apparently, Yami is either muted or struggling to find her mute button because she's not muted on the line. So, Yami, are you there? All right, Yami dropped off. Hallelujah. Abba, Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you this morning for plans that have gone astray. Abba, forgive me for waking up late, but Yah, we just ask that you would clear the line of anything the adversary would try to prepare against us. He has no authority. Yah, you have all authority. You are the conqueror. You are the champion. And you train champions. So, Abba, we just thank you for the preparation of the gospel. We thank you for the preparation of our souls and the willingness of heart to carry your message to a lost and dying world. Give us the strength when necessary. Increase the faith always, Yah. And we thank you for Yeshua HaMashiach and his sacrifice. Hallelujah. All right, let's see here. I am thankful this morning that I was late, because at least I got on the line. I'm thankful it's another beautiful day. I'm thankful that there is another 24 hours of opportunity in front of me. I am Berachot and highly favored. I'm a minister of Yah. I'm a Shalayach of Ahava. I am a warrior. I'm a champion. I am prosperous. I am successful. I have a message that cannot be defamed or defeated or besmirched. I am in love with the message of Shamayim. Hallelujah. Abba, we just pray that in your knowing everything, you know what's going on in our various areas wherever we are all located. Abba, we know that you know the state and the condition of this world better than anybody else. All we can do is pray for our local, state, and federal governments and the leaders thereof. And Abba, we just pray that they do what they're supposed to be doing, the way they're supposed to be doing them, which is in righteousness and without corruption, so that your will can be accomplished, so that the public they're supposed to be protecting can be safe. Abba, we come against spirits of witchcraft, spirits of sorcery, of transgenderism, of poverty, of greed. Yeah, we come against all of it in the name of Yeshua, knowing that there is a healthy way to have most of those things that were listed. Abba, we just give you the praise, honor, and kavod for the fact that you make all this happen. Help us to be an example today, Yah, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. With that, we're going to ask
Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Magune Chembao, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua HaMashiach, hey.
Thank you.
Well, hallelujah. Welcome back. I can guarantee that last horn was not a shofar, but it sounded fantastic. Yami, are you ready to come forward with your teaching this morning, my sister?
Well, good morning. And my phone was doing a thing. I don't know what it thought it was doing, but I told it it had to submit to Yahweh. And so now, somehow it had me on video in between every, I don't know what it, but I just want to say that this is the day that Yah has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, and we will come together and give honor to the Most High Deity, to the one who is our Messiah, the one who is able to take us out of Egypt and establish us in the promised land. And Father, you give us the land as we are able to keep it. So shall it be that we will rule and reign with you. And we can become all you intended for us to be. Thank you. Your promises are all yes and amen. And we are looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and the one who does miracles, and the one who causes a horrified world to come to peace. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done in this earth as it is already established by you. And we have made our choice and we say, let your flag fly high from the banner of our heart to acknowledge that I'm your property. We each are your property. And everywhere we step our foot, we claim for you. We say that there is nothing or no one that is better than you. So, Father, we again say, let us completely submit. We say, all that is within us, submit yourself to Yah. And so shall we be saved from our enemies, for you reign. And we will follow you, and we will be witnesses of to and for everything you represent. All the aspects of the love you give towards us as we make our heart full of your Torah, so that the seeds of the word are bearing fruit and will continue. So let us find your directions pleasant, and let us never experience or bow to fear, though it may come before us. We recognize the enemy is the one that brings the fear, and we only reverend you, and we're afraid of nothing. And we thank you that today you have a good direction for us to go. And in your nature, we will be supernaturally, because we are yours. So let us see what the Father has, and let us hear what he has to say, and let us be doers of what he tells us to do. Amen. So for today, I am looking into 1 Samuel again, we are. And I was going to the 16th chapter. And I'm going to read, and we will stop when the Ruach says it's time and has something for us to take note of today. And Yahweh said to Samuel, "Until when will you mourn for Saul? For I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and excuse me, but there is another phone in my room and I didn't know it. Okay. So, Father, I ask that you just keep the enemy from distracting us from your what you want done today. So again, we are looking in the chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And Yahweh said to Saul, "Until when will you mourn for Saul?" Said to Samuel, "When will you mourn for Saul? I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go in the name of Yeshua." Excuse me. I have to deal with this landline. I have a landline and a home line, and one was being busy making noise. Excuse. And Samuel said, "How can I go when Saul, I'm reading the second. Okay, we better finish the first. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have seen a king for me among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears, he will kill me." And Yahweh said, "You shall take a heifer from the herd in your hand and shall say, 'I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh.' And you will invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will make you know what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me whoever I say to you." When I read this, I see how Yah works in my life, how I get a bit of direction. And then I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to where he's directing me. But guess what? He does tell me what next, just like what's happening here with Samuel. He says, "You shall take a heifer from the herd in your hand and shall say, 'I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh, and you will invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will make you know what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me whomever I say to you.' And Samuel did what Yahweh said and came to Bethlehem. And the elder of the city trembled to meet him and said, 'Do you come in peace?' And he said, 'Peace. I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Sanctify yourself, and you shall come with me to the sacrifice.' And he sanctified Jesse and his son and called them to the sacrifice. And it happened as they came in that they saw Elba and said, surely before Yahweh is his Messiah. Surely before Yahweh is his Messiah. And Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, nor to the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For man does not see what he sees, for man looks for the eyes, but Yahweh looks for the heart. And Jesse called to Abinadab, and he, that's a word that's a little confusing to me, a name. He passed him before Samuel, but he said also, Yahweh was not chosen, has not chosen this one. And Jesse passed Sheam by, but he said, also Yahweh has not chosen this one. And Jesse passed seven of the sons of his man's son before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen among these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the young men? And he said, there yet remains the youngest. And behold, he is feeding the flock. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we shall not set until he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. And he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and good form. And Yahweh said, rise up, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brothers. And the Ruach of Yahweh came upon David from that day and onward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the spirit of Yah departed from Saul, and the spirit of adversity from Yahweh terrified him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now a spirit of adversity from Elohim is terrifying you. Please let our master say to our servant before you, let them seek out a man who knows how to play on the harp. And it shall be, when the spirit of adversity from Elohim is upon you, that he shall play with his hand, and it shall be well with you. And Saul said to his servant, now look for a man who is good at playing for me, and bring him to me. Hallelujah. So here we see that Saul's failure to obey and listen and do the proper direction, the exact direction that he was given over to a spirit that, as we remember from our childhood stories, that he was pretty much insane. And so David was the chosen, the youngest of Jesse, the youngest son, who took care of the, was feeding the sheep, and was brought before Yahweh. And when Yahweh's eyes went upon him, he spoke, "This is the one." Father, we pray that we can be the one that you see as worthy to be your servant, your representative to this dying world, to this foolish. I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
I'm not sure what Marissa needed, but we were supposed to try to keep this one kind of short. I should have given you a heads up earlier when you started.
Hello?
I was listening that day, but I took a little fall asleep there. So I would just say, yeah, we trust in you, and we want to be a David, like David, someone that you see you would choose to be in this world. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. Marissa, are you ready to go?
Yeah, I got half of what Yami was saying. And then she cut out.
All right. That's all right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Okay. We put the armor on 24. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. Yahweh is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the wisdom and teaching of our master. Slaves, obey your masters according to flesh with reverence and trembling in humility of your heart as to Messiah. Not with eye service as hypocrites, but as slaves of Messiah, doing the will of our master from the heart. Serving as slaves with good will to our master, not as to men. Each one knowing that whatever good thing he does, this he shall receive from the masters, whether he is a slave or a free man. And masters, do the same thing.
We lost you, Marissa. Well, I don't know what happened to Marissa, but we seem to have lost her for some reason. And she may be trying to come back. So, Marissa, if you can hear this and you get back, go ahead and preempt the song. We need to get you in here. This is Philip Phillips for a minute.
Dead to rights, born and raised. We are thick and thin till our last days. So hold me close and I'll surrender to your heart. You know how to give and how to take. You see every hope I locked away. So pull me close and surrender to my heart. Before the flame goes out tonight, yeah, we'll live until we die. So come out. Into a raging fire. memories made will wash away. Even though we've changed, I'm still here with you. If you listen close, you'll hear. Yeah, we'll live until we die. Let your heart be next to mine, for the flame goes out tonight. We can live until we die.
Hallelujah. Do we? Just check and see if we had you back yet.
My phone somehow doesn't like this line, so I'm going to come back on. So, yeah, the second time this morning. So, I'm on chapter 6 of Ephesians. Put on all the armor of God for you to be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. For our conflict is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with those in authority, and with the possessors of this dark world, and with the evil spirits that are beneath heaven. Because of this, take up all of the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to resist the evil one, and being prepared, you shall prevail. Then stand firm, having girded your loins about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Also put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. Praying all times in the Ruach and watching to the same thing with all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. Pray also for me, that to me may be given speech and opening of my mouth with boldness to make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in the chain, that in it I may speak boldly as it is right for me to speak, but that you also may know the things about me, what I am doing, Tychus, the beloved brother and faithful minister and our master, will make known all things to you, whom I sent to you for the same thing, that you might know the days about us, and he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from me, the Father and Master, Yeshua Messiah. Grace be with all those that love our Master, Yeshua Messiah, without corruption. Amen. Hallelujah, this morning is a beautiful day in Branson, and I'm enjoying the weather this morning, as yesterday was a bit hot, so there is people, so if you hear noise in the background, you might hear people that are working, but if it gets loud, I'll go inside. So anyways, I am thankful for Yeshua's first place, and I just want to clear that. The enemy has no more foothold or stronghold over me, many of us on this line. And he's messed it up so many times. And I ask for Yahweh to forgive me of letting sin in my life allow me to allow this in my life, and that Yahweh can deliver me from the evil snares of the enemy, and declare that Satan can't have his say. So we decree and declare that Yeshua is our helper, and I pray for discernment, that Yeshua is our Savior, and for the voice of the enemy to be silenced, and that we can only hear the true voice, which is Yahweh's voice. And I pray, as I remember one day in church, as this young woman named Tony was praying, as turning up the volume of Yahweh's voice as a radio dial. So I pray that same prayer as I turn up the dial of Yahweh's voice, that his voice is loud and clear, and I decree and declare that he makes his voice known and to us, and that the other voices of the enemy that tries to strike us as ways that he's fooling us or giving us words of doubt or words of lies or different ways that the enemy tricks us to making us think that it might be okay to do this or that, I cancel those assignments, and I pray that they're null and void in the issue of shame, that we have only communication with Yahweh. And we ask for you to remove the other voices. We cast them out of our lives in Yeshua's name. Let's decree and declare to anyone that is so engaging in listening to the wrong voice that you forgive us of following the wrong gods or the false gods. And I decree and declare that I am free from it, and that everyone else is free from it in Yeshua's name. I decree and declare that you no longer have to live in the doubt or in the flesh. That fact was explained this morning, that we worship in that flesh, that we are praising Yahweh for our minutes, trying to convey that we are in the rock today, and that the southern and the conviction of what we have been wrong, we can do it. And I just feel clear that I am able to think before I do. As my mom used to tell me, I used to think before I used to not think. And there's been times where my other rock was telling me that I am like that too. So I pray for anyone else as well. Yeah, we just hit the mind of the time to have a shalom of our minds, that we think before we do in our each day. We have just way of doing things. Not doing things that are reality.
Marissa, you're breaking up. You might have to change your grip on your phone.
Is that better?
Hello? Keep talking.
I put the phone close to my mouth now.
Okay, that sounds seems better. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a big issue, like, go turn my laptop on, but anyways. So I declare that as we our day, that we have Yah's hand upon our minds, that we are not thinking of the fleshly ways. So I pray as Yahweh helps us discern what is right and what is wrong. And as I was saying before, that my mom
All right, hallelujah. Apparently, we are having technological issues today because Marissa disappeared again. Don't know what happened. If anybody can give us an insight as to what's going on, as to when she'll be back, I will play a song in the meantime. Let's see here. Where do we want to go? This is heart of the matter.
Can you see the times before you? Can't you feel it in the air? Has your heart been hardened in you? Do you really care? You say that you've been woken up. Now you know his name. You have set his heart before you, so you claim. Did you hear the voice of the hungry or the widow's sigh? Did you hear the orphan cry? 'Cause no one is satisfied. Did you lend a hand to the poor in their hour of need? Did you close your eyes to the homeless? 'Cause you just can you see these things before you? Is it all in your head? Have you hardened your heart to the stranger or the sick in bed? You say you clothe the naked with the words that you speak.
Hallelujah. Yami, or Marissa, rather, are you back?
I'm trying. Okay. Can you hear me on here?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I opened the laptop. We're going to try this again. Last time. Hopefully no more phone calls back in. I didn't get internet. I didn't like internet on the phone. So I have both just in case. So anyways, as decreeing the clearing for our mental health for Yahweh, as we ask you to take away the defects in the mind of the enemy in our thoughts. I pray that he cannot come in our thoughts and our minds and feed us the wrong information. So we pray for a protection upon us, a canopy of your love, of your protection for our minds and our bodies, that we have you as you are first place. And I pray for the ways that we think, that you can arrange our thoughts to be of Yahweh ways instead of ways of that. That you're how do you have to go around? Yeah, it's crazy. We had moved yesterday. And Sandy feels stuck.
You're still breaking up, Marissa. I'm sorry.
Am I better now?
Say something again.
Hello?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
I can talk into the computer. Hello?
That's a little bit better. Stay right where you are. Don't move.
Okay, so I'll stay right here. I had a Sandy was lost, but she couldn't find her way out. So anyways, we are back here now. As Yahweh is our supplier, and enemy cannot keep us distracted from praising Yahweh. So the Queen of right now that we're in Ikad, and Yahweh is our first place. We are thankful for this morning, as Yeshua is our Messiah, and he keeps us protected. As I was praying for, the enemy has no way to take us anymore. And I pray for Yeshua that he's a canopy of protection, and for us to discern his voice loud and clear, and that he can be our waymaker, and nothing else can go between us. And it's been declared that we have some timing and his structure, that he's building our life on a firm foundation, And I pray for the Malachim as they are taking place in our, for our homes, in our workplaces, in our vehicles, that they are there on behalf of our warfare, that they are keeping us strong and afraid. And I pray for Rick and Sandy, and for Scott and Ken, and for Yami and her family, Jennifer and any of our other brothers and sisters on the line. We lift them up in Yeshua's name. And I pray for our brother Mike as we enjoy when he was online. And so, yeah, we pray that Yahweh brings him back. And we pray for Yahweh's timing and for Yahweh to give him reminders that we're here for him each step of the way. And I just pray that you help him sort out any of his the issues that may be coming upon him, that he's no longer in heaven any problems. Like Yahweh's a problem solver. And I declare that you are a helper, Yahweh, and everyone else's that has been in line in the past too, that you know by name, their hearts. And I pray for them in Yeshua's name, as well as our brothers Daniel and Gary and Boone and all those other people that were in the Wisconsin area that you know where they are right now, and I pray you meet their needs. So is our brother Josie. And I pray for your healing upon them, upon us, Yahweh, and keeping us in fullness. And so lift up those who are up there in addiction, that are struggling. I pray for your solution for them, Yahweh, that they can find a way out of the darkness. And I pray for the alcoholics out there too, that you can help them realize they don't need to be drinking anymore. And I pray that you are helping them each of the way for less deaths in life, that they are no longer going to have to die from their addiction because they have the solution. I pray for the outpouring of resources, Yahweh, that there's so much out there happening and there's not enough out there that is able to help. So I pray for you to make a way to provide more resources, more buildings, more Yali counselors that you appointed to help bring those out of the addiction, to help them so they can have hope in life, in their life, and they can have life after their drug use. And I pray for those to be free from it. Pray for the dope dealers out there that they can turn from their wicked ways, as well as for the men and women in uniform that are called to do your work, that can get the bad men off the streets and strategize how to get it from the source and where it's coming in from. And we pray for the doctors out there, you know, that the pharmakia, the witchcraft of it, the evil plans of the enemy. I pray for more natural solutions out there in the healthcare system. I lift up those who are in hospice and those in nursing homes and hospitals, the clinics, Yahweh. I pray for you to have your hand upon those people and the patients and the doctors. We also pray for those who are transgender, those who are in the wrong mindset that think they should change their looks or their body. I pray for you to even up those issues, Yahweh, that they can find a true identity in you and not have to look to what they don't, where they do not belong. We belong in you, Yahweh, in your presence and in your image, which you created us in our mother's womb. So I pray for them to be thankful for their bodies and for how Yahweh made them. And I pray for the body modification people, the demonic works behind it. I pray for you to help the situation. There's more and more of that demonic people, the mindset of the way they look and the people that are engaging in activities to make people look like them. As well as plastic surgeons that are doing unnealy work and surgeons out there. So we pray for you helping that situation, Yahweh. And for the government out there, as there's so much happening, we declare that you help the
government officials and FBI to send his workers that he appointed to go into office and uproot the evil ways of the enemy, the Anyali, the people that are not Yah-fearing, to come out of office. Hallelujah. We pray for you. Help with helping our business grow, the financial safety for time, and our CEO, Dave Smith, and Doug Mollock for longevity, and for Asante, and for Michael, and for other businesses that you are, have prepared that we are yet to learn more about, that's in the midst of when it comes into our to the position for us to learn more about. So thank you that we are learning as we are going through each day, that you can help us with that. And I pray for people in the wilderness that they're in, coming into the promised land, and for people that are coming out of Egypt. And I pray for you to forgive us of our sins and forgiving those of their sins that are coming out of Egypt. And I pray for you to cleanse us and renew our minds and keeping us in Echad, and for your fruits to manifest in our lives, Yahweh, for the love, kindness, joy, shalom, faith, patience, goodness, meekness, and self-control. And I pray for our families and the salvation of families, and that you're healing us from past trauma and past abuse, for you to comfort us, that you're a comforter. And I pray for the love ministry, for the prison ministers, Yahweh, for those who are called to do your work in bringing your word into the prison system and the men and women's jails and everything else going on. And I pray for those who are wrongly convicted, that they can have a way out, the people that are falsely accused. Like, decree and declare that you help them in their situations. And as well as any other legal issues, Yahweh, that you're helping us so we can get them the solutions made for the issues. And I pray for our brother Steve Shipley and others that have worked with Love Ministry that are sharing your word and your love in the prison. And I decree and declare for the sex slavery, Yahweh, that you take those out of the sex trafficking. You're helping the white workers be sent forth to save, to get them out of that. And I pray for the deception behind it. Hold on. Sandy was coming through. Okay. So I'm decreeing the clear as Yahweh is cleansing us from past sexual sins, as well as lust and any demonic influence, that we repent of our past sins in that area. I decree and declare that Yahweh has bringing his commandments back into the ministries, and for the world violence after Yahweh, that there's so much demonic influences upon the world violence and the shootings and so much out there. I just pray for you to lessen it, Yahweh, for people to have less access and for them to change from the wicked ways, and protection upon those people so they don't have to get trapped. And I pray for the women out there that are, and for men that are in a bad relationships, that you help them come out of that, that they're protected no matter what, and as well as children, that they are protected from any Anyali parents or Anyali decisions, and that you're forgiving. You also forgive those who have been Anyali in their lives. And I am thankful that Yahweh can take us out of those past problems, that we are no longer in those problems. I am Yahweh's daughter, and I am an overcomer. I am a doer, and I am beautiful. I am great, and I am root, and I am righteous. And I am a great mother who is getting greater every day. I am a warrior and a champion, and I am successful. I am a good person. I am a truth teller. And I am well seasoned that Yahweh's knit together, and I am Yahweh's vessel. And I'm bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a hearer and sincere of Yahweh and of His word. And I am a walking and living testimony. I am obedient, and I'm putting all my trust in you, Yahweh. And I am fruitful and joyful. I am thankful that Yahweh can restore all the joy in my life, in our lives, that we have Yahweh's way. And I'm thankful for Yahweh's love, for sunshine in the morning. Thankful for our Elohim, for his good works that Yahweh is keeping us in good places. And I'm thankful that Yahweh has his hand over the ungodly, and that he can help turn them from that. Yahweh can bring them back to him. And that's just reminding us every day. I'm thankful that Yahweh is our, he reminds us in kind ways and as well as bold ways and as well as convicting that we have him in our first place. And it's pretty clear that we are rejoicing in thanksgiving and we have him as our, as he reminds us of his Savior, of our Savior. Yeshua is our Savior, and I'm thankful for Yeshua. Hallelujah. And I'll pass with that.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Marissa. Well done. We are going to jump into our wealth of wisdom real quick. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 15, 14 to 19, and we're going to be quick about it, but we're going to be effective. The heart of the wise one seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds only on folly. And that's encouraging because we know that Abiyah, that Yeshua is the bread of life. If we choose to seek him, if we choose his knowledge and knowledge of him, he will fill our hearts. And he will instruct us of the knowledge that he wants us to have. But the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Normally, a fool doesn't give a whole lot of consideration to the important things in life or to the things that really matter. And it's going to be obvious when they do open their mouths because the contents of the conversation is going to be lacking. Sooner or later, it's going to come back and it's not going to taste real good because they haven't understood. They've chosen not to understand the benefits of speaking positive over their lives and speaking in an uncorrupt manner to those around them. You'd be pretty much guaranteed that when the mouth of someone identified as foolish, and it's pretty easy, speaks, there's going to be a goodly amount of what would be considered corrupt communication coming out simply because they aren't focused. They haven't been seeking knowledge in a way that's going to benefit anyone. 15, all the days of the depressed are evil, but gladness of heart is a continual feast. I'm sure some would argue with this statement, but I'm going to throw it out there because this is what the Ruach gave me. It almost seems as though the days of the depressed, as it says here, are relatively unplanned. It's not focused. They let whatever thought it is that gets them down, keep them down, and they don't seek to rise above the challenge. And while it might not be a choice to have that thought, it's a choice to keep it and to allow it to remain and ruin a day. Unless you are running through the steps and the process and reflecting on a moment by moment basis, you may not notice when that depression first sets in. You may not be able to take that thought captive under the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach and deal with it properly. So yeah, the evil, that which is quote unquote deadly to your mental health or damaging to your mental health, is going to stay with you until you decide to do something about it. So in a sense, in that way, depression is a choice. And you know, I can already hear people saying, well, how can you say that? Well, how can you say that? Now, you're a nutcase for even suggesting that. Well, am I really? Is there anything you could be putting in your head to change your mind? And if you've chosen not to accept that as a truth, the truth that you can choose to put what go, the truth that you can choose what you put in your head and what goes into your heart, are you not in fact choosing the depression? Let's look at the other side of the comma. But gladness of heart is a continual feast. You cannot not plan a continual feast and have one. Let me repeat that. You cannot have a continual feast and not plan it. And normally at feasts, the intent is to produce gladness of heart, foregoing the thoughts of, you know, alcohol that, you know, some would have at their feasts. This is not that. This is the new wine. This is Yeshua. This is a plan that was set in place before the foundations of the earth. Abba Yah put this world into effect and set wisdom within it so that we could plan and choose and decide how we're going to transition day by day through this world. This is free will here. But gladness of heart is a continual feast. You have to choose to attend the feast. You get to choose to remain out in the darkness with no oil in your lamp. This is free will. You can either choose to be glad and see life as a feast and see life as a buffet, or you can, as I have in the past, gotten frustrated and down and depressed and allowed it to stay there and allowed it to stay that way. And sooner or later, you got to go run to a psychiatrist or a psychologist just to be told you're depressed. And that you're dealing, you know, that, yeah, now evil is, evil, I guess, is in this context is subjective. You know, we're not talking axe murderers and, you know, serial killers evil. We're talking, you know, overshadowed by just a haze or a fog that affects our minds and, you know, doesn't allow us to see clearly, doesn't allow us to see the benefits of Yahweh in the day-to-day, the moment by moment. But choosing to be glad, choosing to allow your heart and your mind to tell your face that there's nothing wrong with you today, that's a choice. That's what we do here. That's what praise, prayer, decree, and declare is designed to do. Yes, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be issues. You may get scourged. Hopefully not. But it could happen at some point in the future. the question is our faith in Yeshua, is our faith in what Yahweh is doing enough to cause us to stand on his promises that even as that 39th stroke is falling, we can take solace and find happiness in our Messiah. But gladness of heart is a continual feast. It's a choice. Better is a little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure and destruction with it. Again, we deal with, on a regular basis, this argument of are believers supposed to be prosperous materially? If we go back to verse 15 and look at it, okay, and take the two in context and connect the two, okay, if we are forced to be poor, if we are not supposed to strive to improve our quality of life or our standing in this world, if we are forced to do that and have no choice in the matter, then yes, it would be easy to see how depression could set in and could remain. But I don't believe that is where Yah is calling us to remain. I don't think Abba Yah is against us having gladness of heart or being wealthy enough to have a continual feast in this realm. But if that's all we have, it's better than trying to feast when destruction is at the door, regardless of how ornate and beautiful that door is. I would rather be where I am right now, in the situation I'm in, sitting in a basement of a $550 a month house. I would rather be here than sitting behind the ill-gotten gold-gilded doors of some cartel somewhere, knowing that a random SWAT team could be standing at the door just waiting to break it down. Because at least I know that what I have right now is provided by and honored of Yah, and that I'm doing the best that I can to walk in his statutes and by his principles, and that the wealth that I'm accumulating through what I'm doing now at this moment is better than anything that could be received from an illegal action. I don't want the destruction in my life. Yah has promised us that if we get things, if he berachots us and elevates us, we'll be able to keep it because he will stand guard over us. He's our provider, he's our strength, he's our assurance. But once we endeavor into corrupt action and unyali behavior, all bets are over. Now we've crossed over into the realm of the wicked. I don't want to be there. And here we go again. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is. And you've heard Rock mention on the line from time to time, Jacob Rubin's The Maker's Diet. So, is this a suggestion? Who knows? But I'm gonna err on the side of caution and say it is. Maybe a suggestion. Something worth considering. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a stalled ox and anger with it. Again, that too reflects back to verse 16. How'd you get the ox? What do you have to contend with? What issues do you have to deal with? Are you angry every morning that you have to get up take care of that ox, clean out its stall? Do you actually hate that animal? Do you actually hate the responsibility of having to take care of it? Is it that much of a burden? If that's the case, then it's better to go dig up some vegetables, throw it on a grill, and do what you can with it, believing that Yahweh will berachot your heart, mind, and body with it, than risk being injured when you have to try to slaughter that stalled ox that you've just beaten for the last 5 years before it was big enough to slaughter. Whatever the situation is, better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a stalled ox and hatred with it. Solomon was a pretty wise man. It would kind of be putting somebody in a bad situation to force them to actually consume something that was hated before it could be consumed. I wouldn't want to eat something I hated. That's just me. Verse 18, a furious man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger calms fighting. Again, I've been on both sides of this comma. I have gotten bent out of shape in ways I didn't need to for reasons that didn't warrant it. Now, I've apologized and I've made amends and I've asked forgiveness for all of it. So this is just a reference point. I've been there. It's not a good place to be because it raises your blood pressure. That spirit of anger jumps on you and stays on you and will not let you go until you repent, until you get rid of it. And until you realize what's going on, because otherwise it's going to keep jumping back no matter how often you calm down. But he who is slow to anger is in possession of his mind, is able to pull up the Yali information that he has previously absorbed, and can pull the words out that will not only calm him down from the boiling point, but will calm others down too. I forget where I see it or where I saw it, but this reminds me of the statement, the idea that you can see your face in still water. You can see your reflection, but you cannot see your reflection in a pot of boiling water. You pull that big old 10-quart Dutch oven out from underneath the faucet, you set it on the stove, you let it set, you look in it, and you got yourself a relatively decent mirror. You turn that fire on for eight minutes, and sooner or later you got a pot that's boiling. First off, don't think anybody would really want to put their face over that pot as it's boiling, because the obvious is going to happen. But that's how some people are. Some people like get that pent up and angry, and I've been there myself, and they refuse to turn the fire down. You know, on the other hand, as much as you cannot see your face in boiling water, it is far better to enter the water from any given height if the water is already troubled. So it all depends on what you're hoping the water is going to accomplish. Now, this isn't a mini lesson on the properties of water. I'm just saying, water in a lake or something like that is more embracing if it's stirred up. If you fall on it from a height, it's going to be painful. So entry should be made from short distances away. I'm not even sure why I went that way, but anyway. Verse 19, and I'll wrap up. The way of the lazy one is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the righteous is exalted. Well, I can't avoid the truths here. If you're not doing what you know you should be doing, whether it's unintentional or not, the way you walk through this world is going to be more difficult. It's going to be more challenging than it needs to be. If you're not doing the work that is necessary to keep the briars and the brambles and the thorns off the path, sooner or later, your flesh is going to get snagged on it. And it's going to hurt. There are some pretty big thorns. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on the line here that would try to make the argument that the crown of thorns that was placed on Yeshua's forehead was made of rose thorns, which would be painful enough. But these were some pretty big spikes coming off whatever plant it was. Try getting that hooked on that soft spot right in front of your Achilles tendon as you're walking down a gravel path, because you didn't clear it, because you didn't get up early enough to make sure that path was clear. But the path of the righteous is exalted. If people see that you are clearing your path on a regular basis and that it's safe to walk on, it's going to get talked about. And people are going to mention your name. And people are going to talk about you. And it's going to be a good conversation. You will be exalted by those around you. Abba Yah is the same way. He will exalt us when he is allowed to remove the thorns of our thinking process, because we were wise enough to repent and ask for the removal of them. There's a give and take. This is very much a transactional relationship. I know some people would bristle at the concept or at the context of that statement. But I'll go so far as to say, if you have a dispute with my statement that this is a transactional relationship, you're not very well grounded in your word. A furious man who stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger. Being slow to anger, isn't that a gift of the Ruach? I can't just go down to the corner store and grab some Ruach off the shelf. I've got to get it from Yahweh. It's got to be given to me by Yahweh. I have to be willing to accept it and do everything I can to hold on to it in righteousness so that Yahweh doesn't flee from me. Because his word says that he cannot dwell, or will not dwell, he will not countenance sin. Now, while he might not leave, he might push me away. Or more than likely, I would walk away because, temporary blindness because of anger is kind of a foolish thing to embrace. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And and I'll wrap up after this one, I promise. A son that receives the instructions of his father and instructions of other elders around him, a son that embraces the wisdom and the knowledge and seeks knowledge and sees the benefit of residing in it, is not going to behave in a way that upsets his father. He's not going to be that 17-year-old son that's already got four kids on the way and isn't working. Sorry, I couldn't think of a descriptive more clear than that. Someone that would engage in behavior like that could not be considered wise. Now, on the other hand, if for whatever reason the son was married at 17, had already acquired 7,000 camels, 650 oxen, and 3,000 acres of property somewhere, yeah, smart kid. Way to go, dude. Thanks. Now I can retire early. Fantastic. Proud of you. Now, if that same kid goes out and burns it and slaughters his animals and doesn't sell the meat and, you know, just acts dumb, is it possible to describe that as anything other than despicable? To despise your mother, insinuates that you are willing to do anything and everything you can to harm the environment that made you who you are. But the right side of this promise is not speaking of bad situations. It's not speaking of an overly dysfunctional family. I'm sure of it. That doesn't justify, you know, disrespecting your mother anyway. You still have to love her, but I don't see anywhere where it, mitigates the attitude. We still need to respect and honor our parents. But if there was harm being done within the home, I don't see that as coming into play here. While it would be easier to see and understand why a child's attitude towards a specific parent could be negatively impacted because of a toxic environment, that's not presented here. There's no suggestion in this verse that there's, you know, anything malicious going on by the parent. It's a matter of the child, the foolish man, becoming unfoolish so that his attitude is proper towards his mother, towards his parents. Abba Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of your Proverbs. We thank you for the authority and the wisdom that you gave Solomon. And Yah, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds to fully receive and understand what you're trying to communicate to us through each of these. Abba Yah, if in any way I've fallen short in communicating that this morning, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for falling short on not getting up and not being on time on the call tonight, Abba Yah. That was not my plan. I did not want to let my path become difficult. It was not an intent of a lazy one. I was not intending to be lazy, not getting up this morning. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray that you pour out your barukata upon all on this line, that as they go out and they walk in you, and they walk through your kavod, and they meet those that you've placed in their paths, yeah, that you would have a right word, a silver apple on a golden plate, or a golden apple on a silver plate, however you want to do it, yeah, we just pray that you would make their words sweet and necessary and worthy, so that we can bring others into your home, into the body, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And amen. And of course, it timed out. So now I've got to go back through and find something to close the line off with. Hallelujah. Did that one. How about this one?
Let's come to focus the presence of Yahweh Lahaya sa atong mga dughan.
Oh,
Hallelujah. When I had called Shlaiak Rock offline, the request was that we try to keep this short. Don't know that we hit that half-hour goal, but I am going to ask Rock if he had anything he wanted to add to the program this morning before we wrap it up. And I'm going to take it by the silence that that
is an open. No, I'm already working. I'm already working, Scribe.
All right. Sorry about that, brother. All right. Well, hallelujah. We will be back here, same channel, same place, same time. Love Live Ruach Remnant Reality Radio, 9:07 Central, 10:07 Eastern, 7:07 Mountain, 6:07 Pacific, for RIP 2.0 Ruach Reflections. Hallelujah. Y'all have a great day. Go out and be successful, be prosperous, love on somebody, and take the message of Yah with you as you do it. Hallelujah. This is Shlaiak Scribe. I'm out.